Well, welcome to Open Door Baptist Church this morning, guys. We all stand as we begin worshiping and praising our wonderful and awesome God. When he rolled up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. Well, the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. So turn is very certain, so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He We all bow your heads as we open up with a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that we can come here and worship you this morning, God. We can sing praises about your awesomeness and know that you are great, God. We see you at work in our lives every day, and we thank you and we praise you for that. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for our sins, the most awesome gift that you could possibly give us, God, to redeem us back unto you, that we can live with you forever. And Lord, I pray an anointing upon of your Holy Spirit upon our worship and upon the word that Richie is going to bring to us this morning, God, a word from you to us, your church. God, I pray that it lands in fertile ground and takes root and grows and changes us and you want us to be. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Learned this song last week, so we're going to sing it again. God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you said.
Great is your faithfulness. we serve a wonderful and faithful God. He is always there beside us, no matter what may come. Amen.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah.
You know, sometimes we need that, don't we? Amen.
Have the privilege and the honor to to come before you freely and to see and shout what a wonderful name it is. God, we just, as we come before you today, I pray, Lord, that the outside world, that the chaos, that the stress, that the drama, Lord, that the good times and the bad times, that everything that's going on, that we can set it all aside. As we come before your throne today, God, I pray that we can take a few minutes here to seek your wonderful name. That we can run to you. But Lord, that we can also hear you speak to us. God, I pray for the word today as we come before your word. God, I pray that it's your words, not mine. God, that your words be spoken today. That your word is shared today. And that your Holy Spirit rains down upon this place. God, guide us today. Teach us today. As we come here to honor that wonderful name. God, it's in your wonderful name we pray today. Amen. Church, good morning. I'm sure most of you have noticed I am not Pastor Larry. He is sitting somewhere on a beach, hanging out in Florida weathers. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little jealous as we're starting to get a little snow out there again. He keeps sending me pictures of clear waters and nice areas. So I'm going to be honest, I might have to block Pastor Larry in the coming week here. So don't tell him, though, just in case. You know, sometimes, Pastor Larry, I didn't mean that. All right, moving on. Church, a couple quick things. Number one, if you ordered strawberries, they are downstairs in the fridge. All right, these beautiful strawberries, just as a reminder for next year, everybody. I just want to share that and a very happy Valentine's Day week to everybody. As it's the Sunday before Valentine's Day, I wanted to talk a little bit about love. I thought, you know, everybody goes in for the flowers and the chocolate-covered strawberries. And I know everybody's thinking, why talk about love? Valentine's Day really isn't about the love. It's a corporate holiday about the chocolate and the strawberries and the flowers and all of that. Listen, I'm not arguing that fact. But I thought with all of that in mind, I would share some of the true meanings of love. I wanted to share some of the facts about love. Love is actually one of the most basic of our fundamental needs, according to Psychology Today. That means everybody has a need or a desire to be loved. Now, I know that sounds kind of obvious, right? Because there are literally hundreds of thousands of love songs and love poems out there. So today, as we talk about love, I actually want to start with one of the most important things about love. I want to start with one of the most crucial versions of love that you will ever see and ever hear of. So if you looked in front of you, I actually have had some help putting out some communion cups for you guys. We're actually going to do communion today, because what better example of love is there than what Christ did on the cross? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start with a communion passage today. If you guys want to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read that before you guys today. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25 continues and says, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And verse 27 continues to say, so then whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. That's 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. You know, these scriptures are what we in the church call the communion passage or the Lord's Supper. It's important for us to look at verse 23 because it specifically says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. We're supposed to be doing this. This is something that in the church we are called to do. We're called to take communion. 25 says, do this in remembrance of me. All this is to say that we are called to do this. We're called to take part in this in a remembrance of what the Lord did for us. Church, this is an act of worship. But, and this is where it's very important, you hear me. Church, we are called to examine ourselves. In pastoral circles, they call it fencing the table. Okay? What this is exactly what it says. In verse 28, it says, we examine ourselves. Now, I like to break it down so that Lana can understand when I do this kind of stuff, because that helps me to understand it better. So when I explained this to Lana, I tried to explain it in such a way that she could easily understand. So let me share with you kind of what I explained with Lana when I was talking to her about this. See, we're called to examine ourselves, meaning that we need to take a few minutes to stop what we're doing, to evaluate where we're at. Do we understand what this is all about? Do we understand what the bread is? Do we understand what the juice or the wine is? Do we understand the significance behind why we take communion? If you're not saved, understand, if you don't have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you should not be partaking in communion. It's nothing personal. Not calling you out. Don't know it specifically. I'm just telling you, you should not partake in this. Why? I'm glad you asked. For those who eat or drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat or and drink judgment on themselves. It calls it out specifically. Okay? If you're not saved, you should not partake in the Lord's Supper, in communion. But church, it's more than that. See, we should be cautious in partaking in communion if we are in the middle of an act of sin. I know we're all sinners. I know we all have sinned, and most of us probably have sinned sometime this week. Maybe some of us today, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about here is you are in the middle of an act of sin that you are not in repentance of. That you are going back and forth and back and forth that you are still not repenting of. This means you have something you need to deal with. I'm not saying you should never take communion. I'm saying you should be cautious about partaking in communion today. So church, today, as we come before, I want to discuss what these two symbols mean. First of all, just so you're all aware, when we do this, it is these little plastic cups, and you do want to pull this little film. Larry likes to point out that if you need to be very careful to pull the top film first when we get to the bread. But church, this bread, which is, as you open and see, it's in the form of a wafer. This bread is a symbol for the body of Christ. Don't confuse the symbol for what little piece that it is. The body of Christ is very significant. It was beaten It was broken. It was damaged. It was crushed for you. It was pierced for you. Before we take our communion, I want to give you an opportunity, a chance to examine yourselves. So for this moment, we're going to take a moment of silence. Kathy's going to play some music for us. Chapter 11, verse 24, said, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Like I said, be careful to pull the sleeve off the top there. And as you're doing that, Jason, would you pray for the bread for us, sir? Amen. Take, eat in remembrance of him. As a reminder, before you open your cups, Larry recommends you shake it up a little bit. I don't know why. There's no scriptural value in that. Must be a Latin thing. Gotta be it. As we look at the juice or the wine, it is a symbol for the blood. See, this blood was poured out for us. It's the blood that washed us clean of our sins. As we said, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have failed. We've all made mistakes. And the fact that not only was he willing but able to provide the price of our sin through his blood, what an incredible gift of love that he shared with us. As you open, be careful. And as you're opening your cups, Travis, would you pray for the blood or for the juice? Amen. Drink until he returns. Thank you, Jason and Travis for praying. Thank you, church, for partaking communion with me today. Church, as I said earlier, I want to talk to you about love today. And I hope you're ready for this. I know you're thinking it, and Zeke's even saying it. What does love got to do with it? And I'm going to be very honest with you. I talked with Zeke this week, and I talked with Larry, and both of them made that same quote during our conversations. Larry sang a little bit more. I didn't record it. I apologize. Next time I'll think about it a little bit more. That being said, I'm not going to sing that song for you. I'm going to bless you in that way today. But when we think about love, you know, what's the first thing you think about? I'm going to be honest. My mind immediately goes to, no, not my wife, I'm sorry, to pizza. Because... Listen, I've spent a lot of time eating a lot of pizza as a youth pastor. I've gotten a lot of experience at this, all right? We probably eat more pizza than we should.
And chicken trays.
And chicken trays, that's right. The truth is, though, I don't think that I'm the only one. I mean, let's be honest. When you go out on a date, you go to lunch or you go to dinner, right? What do you do? You go out and eat, right? So I'm not completely crazy with thinking about food. Not completely crazy, and I'm sure I'm going to pay for it later. But the point there is that we all have these different things that we think about when we think about love. Hopefully it's a significant other or our spouse. But a lot of times, it is food. It's different things we like, different things that we love. Obviously, most of us here love the Lord. Hopefully that's why we're here, and not just to throw things at me. That's preferred. But the truth is, the word love is a bit misused. Actually, Billy Graham, in a sermon many, many years ago, said that love is the most misused word in our society. I thought it was inconceivable, but he said this in a church years and years ago. He said it in a sermon where he was challenging the church to discover truly what love is. Thing is, I find this statement from Billy Graham to be still true today. I mean, think about it. When I joke and say that I love pizza, do I really love pizza? I mean, it's good. It's great. If it's the right kind of pizza, it's really good. But is it love or is it a lust? Is it a longing for? I mean, sadly, be honest with you guys, I've taught teenagers for a long time now, and teenagers have told me that they are in love more times than I can count. No disrespect to any of the teenagers in the room, but teenagers are not usually in love. There are exceptions to every rule. Love is not something we feel one day and then don't feel another. Now, obviously, when I started thinking about love, other than just food, my thoughts came to my wife. And I went, you know, I love my wife. I love you, babe. She's not happy with me right now. That's okay. And when I think about our love story and all of the years of youth and youth ministry and the fun and the adventures and the Disneys, it actually got me to going back through some of our history and watching some crazy videos we did in youth group years. I'm not going to share any of those or tell you about any of those, but if you ever have time and get want to watch what, you know, something I did in teenager years, there's some crazy videos out there. Again, weird stuff. But it's love, right? We are in a culture who are so desperate for love. We're in a culture and a society where we're so desperate to find love that everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to write songs about it. Everybody writes poems and articles. There are more notes and articles out there about how to find love and who to find love. There are even hundreds and thousands of different pickup lines on how to find love. I got a couple of those for you. These are the top 10 Christian pickup lines I found out there. Because you got to find love some way, right? And so they use these Christian pickup lines like, I would part the Red Sea for you. Or how about, now I know why Solomon had 700 wives. Because he never met you. Thanks for giving me an awe. I appreciate that. I like this one. What are you doing the rest of your afterlife? Did you say your name was Esther? Oh, I guess I just think you were chosen for such a time as this. Now, this is a classic, so, you know, I think all of us have heard this one. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven? For all you math people out there, 10% of me is 100% certain that I can give you 10% of my heart forever. Listen, if that works, never mind. We're going to move on. I feel like God is telling me that you should go on a date with me. For you, I'd slay two Goliaths. Hey, let's be like Noah and do this as a pair. And last, but certainly not going to work, is you must be Egyptian because I'm a slave for you. Listen, I got to be honest with you. These are meant to be silly, I hope and think. And please don't try to use these. Let me reiterate this. Willie, we talked about this yesterday when we were talking about this. These do not work. Please do not try these at home. All right? Thank you. Steve's not here for me to pick on. So, you know, I had to go to... Anyway. Listen, I hope that you haven't gotten any ideas from these 10 pickup lines. And I hope you haven't quite given up on me yet. If you have your Bible still, let's open them up to 1 Corinthians 13. And let's talk about what love truly is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to start off in verse 1. It starts like this. If I speak in the tongues of men and or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give you all I possess to the poor, if I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Verse 4, for love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Pray with me for the reading of the word. God, I just thank you that we have the time to come and look at your love, the love you have for us, the love you have called us to share with others. God, as we look at what your love really is, I pray. I pray that we can put aside our ideas, our views, our concepts, and we look at what your love truly is. That we can take something from your word today. It's in your great name I pray. Amen. The worldview of our world, of our society, is that love is an emotion. God's view of love is a little different. God's view of love is that love is radical. Love is radical. Look at it. Look at the characteristics described to you in 1 Corinthians 13. If you've been paying attention to our Facebook page, thankfully Pam has been sharing all the different characteristics lately. 15 characteristics. See, I can math pretty well. It's not something I'm proud of, but every now and then. Pretty sure. 15 characteristics we look at here. Patience, kindness, gentleness, no. Does not envy, does not boast, not proud, not dishonoring of others, not self-seeking, not easily angered, no record of wrongs, rejoicing with the truth, always protects, always trusts, always perseveres, always hopes, love never fails. These characteristics, as you look at them, as you talk about them, these are not things that our world usually looks at as a characteristic of love. In most circles, just starting off with patience, in most circles, patience is not something you put in as a characteristic of love. Most people would acknowledge that they struggle with patience. I'm going to stand here and tell you I'm not good at being patient. Our society teaches us that we can have it our way now. We ordered groceries yesterday for Walmart pickup because we thought that'd be faster than me going to the store and getting them. Yeah, we set it for a time for pickup. It was going to be 9 o'clock from a one-hour window, 9 to 10 o'clock. At 10:05, I started making a phone call. Hey, my groceries aren't ready yet. Like, the guy said that they would be ready sometime today, so hopefully I'll have groceries later for everybody that's, you know, hurting for me. Right? We're impatient people. And I know I hope I'm not the only one that gets impatient like that. Maybe I am the only one that gets impatient. But I think the reality is that we all can be impatient. We get struggling with this, where we get behind somebody who's going the speed limit, and we're upset when they're going so slow. I got stuck behind Zeke a couple days ago and was like, man, this guy, and then I turned and went, oh man, that's Zeke. Yeah, I know. Patience is difficult for us because that's not what we're taught in our society. We're taught that we should get it now. That's the whole concept with Amazon, right? We can get it super quick. Sorry, I got to pick on Amazon too. Patience is something many of us struggle with. And yet, when we look at love, we see that love is patient. Love is kind. All right, so I might struggle with a lot of these as I realize going through this. You know, kindness is not always easy, right? Or maybe everybody else is just really nice and I'm not. But kindness is sometimes difficult to do because it's easy to think and be upset and really not happy with somebody and not want to be kind or want to be snarky or want to hang up on the person when they said you have to wait a whole nother day. Whatever it might be, right? Kindness can be difficult. Kindness means that we have to actually be nice to someone who may or may not be nice to you. Love does not envy, right? Literally, we're not supposed to be comparing what other people have. But I like the Mustangs in the new models. I would like one of those. I'm not a big truck guy. I'm sorry, Kevin. I don't compare the trucks as much. You know, I want something fast. Listen. Love does not boast. It means we're not supposed to go around talking about how great we are. See, I don't struggle with this one as much. I don't usually go around saying how great I am. I just think it inside my... All right, moving on. Love is not proud. Wow. Right? Not being proud. That means we're not supposed to be proud of how awesome I am and how what great things I did or you did. We're not supposed to be arrogant. When you look at this word proud, it's more than just being proud of something your children do. We're not supposed to dishonor others. We're not supposed to be self-seeking. We have to put other people before ourselves. We have to be, love is supposed to be not easily angered. All right, real quick survey for the room. How many with children have ever gotten angry quickly? Thank you. All right, so I'm not, just some extra hands, thank you. All right. It's hard sometimes, right? Sometimes you're thinking, come on, you don't have that many words in your vocabulary. How are you still talking? This doesn't make sense. We're not supposed to be easily angered. And this is the one I think that hurts me the most. We're not supposed to have a record of wrongs. Church, love has no record of wrongs. Do you know how hard it is to not remember that one time 8 years ago when they made you walk home, or that time that one person said they'd help you build something and they didn't build that thing with you, or that one time when you had to fly to Philadelphia the wrong way? Listen, it's hard to not keep a record of wrongs. I don't think it's easy to not keep a record of wrongs. What I do think is that showing love through the biblical concept here is that we love in spite of the wrongs. Right? We rejoice with truth. Love rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. It always hopes. And I think for most people, wanting to protect things that they love or wanting to protect those they love is fairly self-explanatory. I think that's kind of obvious. I think always trusting is a little bit more difficult, though. Because that one time when we fail another person or they fail us, we have this tendency to go, all right, I don't know if I can ever believe you again. You're going to have to pay me a deposit the next time you borrow one of my books or whatever it might be. Always hoping, maybe not quite as hard for some, but always perseveres. Church, love always perseveres. This verse specifically, when you think of our world, you think of our society where divorce is growing and growing and growing. You think of 2020 where there were more separations and divorces in 2020 because, well, you got stuck together for a long period of time. We get so focused on our own happiness, church, that we forget that love always perseveres. Perseverance means making it through the tough times. It's not something our world teaches. We're taught if it's hard, just don't try. Love never fails. These are some great characteristics, but for a normal person, and I gotta be honest, I struggle with these things. I've been in church for a long time, but I struggle with these things. I fail in these things. Church, I think standing here before you today, I think most of us struggle in some of these areas. With the people that we love, we struggle in these areas. Church, here's the thing. These characteristics, they're radical. This is different. This is not what you would expect. God's view of love is something more extreme than we understand. Because here's the thing. It's easy to love Pastor Larry. Amen? Come on. Pastor Larry's awesome. I'm not just saying that because he's watching, all right? I think most of us can acknowledge that we love Pastor Larry. And it's easy to love Pastor Larry. It's easy to love me most of the time. Thank you. Thank you for somebody having my back, all right? It's easy to love Lana. It's easy to love Aria. It's easy to love a teacher. And yet we still struggle with these characteristics when it's easy to love you, or it's when it's easy to love me. What about the world? What about the rest of the world that we're supposed to love? You understand, church, that when we are called to show love, it's not just to the people that it's easy to love. Amen. That's where things get difficult. Me and Zeke can go rounds and we can have disagreements on things. I know, not very often, but we can go our rounds and have disagreements on things. But at the end of the day, me and Zeke love each other. Zeke is someone I'll stand beside and I'll serve with in anything we can possibly do for the Lord. And I know he has my back as well. That said, me and Zeke don't always show love to each other necessarily. What about to the person that hurts us? How about to that person that hurts your family? How about that neighbor that called the police on you for your loud music? Or the neighbor that called the police because your kid's screaming sounded like violence? How about for that person that was talking behind your back? Or for that person who genuinely hurts your family? I don't necessarily want to love those people, right? And I don't think that I'm the only one who feels that way. I think when we get hurt, we have this tendency to not want to show love to those people. It's easy when you hurt me for me to go, I don't want to deal with you anymore. I'm going to go ahead and hang back in the corner. But that's not what love does. God's view of love is that love is radical. My second point I want to share with you today is God's view of love is that love is sacrificial. Look at verse 3 with me. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardships, so that I may boast, but do not have love, and I gain nothing. Okay, I know. You want some more evidence, right? That verse wasn't enough for you. I get it. I'm with you. So let's look at John 15, 12 through 13. It says, my command is this. Love each other. As I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And just for good measure, one more. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. See, the world has this concept that that love is supposed to be easy. Church, I'm here to challenge that. I'm here to tell you otherwise. Love isn't easy. Love isn't just an emotion. Love is sacrifice. So I thought we'd play a little game today here in the church. A little different than usual. I wanted to play a game that they play at a lot of weddings. I go to a lot of weddings as a photographer. A lot of weddings. I never thought I'd be at so many. But I've learned that DJs play this really cool game where everybody has to dance. I'm not going to make anybody dance. Please do not get too excited here. We're going to play a little game to see who's been married the longest in the church. So if you would just raise your hand for me if you've been married for longer than 1 year. All right, pretty easy, right? So now what we're going to do is if you've been married for more than 5 years, raise your hand. All right, we still got hands up. So how about if you've been married more than 10 years? 15 years? 20 years? Well, this is going to be harder than I thought. 25 years? 30 years? 35? 40? 45? And I have a winner. Oh, whoop, hold on. No, I got two. 50? 55, and I got a winner. All right, I'm going to ask, Ronnie, can you take this back to the winners there? Ginny back in the back, Ginny and Ron. Everybody, congratulations for Ginny and Ron. Ronnie, don't run away with those chocolates, all right? All right. Hey, Ginny and Ron, thank you guys. And thank you everybody for playing with me real quick. You guys have been married the longest in the church. So let me ask you a question. Is love sacrifice? Have you ever had to sacrifice for one another at all? Listen, there are a lot of great things that come along with marriage. And I think most of you guys in the room who are married would agree to that. Having a partner and somebody who you can talk with, somebody who you can communicate with is great. But if anybody who does not have a relationship sits here and thinks that love is easy and that a marriage is easy, I have a sad statement to tell you. It's not. Big surprise. Okay? Love is sacrifice. Literally, we see no greater love than this, than one who would sacrifice his life for his friend. Church, I'm here to tell you that sacrifice is a part of love. The communion that we did today, right? Trying to tie it all back together. Right? Communion was the sacrifice that Christ did on the cross. That's what we are recognizing when we partake in communion. We're recognizing that Christ died for our sins. That his body was beaten, that his blood was shed, and that his blood covered our sins. It paid our price. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Here's the thing. You didn't get fixed first. He fixed you. Amen. He paid that price for you. Church, you can't make up for your sins. There's nothing you can do. If you put a hole in the wall, you can fix that. Matt might still see it, but you can fix that. When you sin, when you separate yourself from God, you can't fix that without his blood. That's the difference. Church, there is a sacrifice that had to be performed, a blood sacrifice in the case of our sins. But what are you willing to sacrifice for those you love? Hopefully, your friends, your family, you're thinking, "Ah, I'd give up my life. I'd give my life for Zeke. You got it, brother. I'd give my life for most of the people in this room. At least I'd like to think I would." It's easy to say, right? But what about the rest of the people out there? What about that person that cut us off? I always come back to that person. I'm sorry, Zeke. I'm just... Why do we not think about the people we have a hard time showing love to? Because we're still called to show radical love to them. We're still called to demonstrate sacrificial love to those people. Church, that's not easy. I struggled with a long time with the relationship that I had with my father because of the things that he did, because of the sins that he performed, because of the problems that arose in my childhood. Okay? Because of him spending years in prison, that relationship was very much tainted, for lack of a better term. That was difficult. And it took me a long time to get beyond that. When studying, I'm reminded that God's love for me covered every sin that I performed. He forgave me prior to me seeking him. He paid that price. So yeah, there were some tough times. Yeah, I went through some difficult things as a kid. But the sacrificial love is me showing forgiveness to my father regardless. Church, it's not easy. But it's not meant to be. I once was told that the best things in life are usually not easy. Church, my last point for you today before I close out the sermon. Love is radical, love is sacrificial, and finally, love is our mission. Look what we're being taught in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39. Most of you have read this passage, most of you have heard this, but it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." And how about 1 John 3:18? "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Now, before you try and criticize my wording there of little children, if you don't view yourself as a little child to God, you're sadly mistaken. I don't care if you're 4 or 400, compared to God, you are still a little child. Period. Okay? Not to mention, we should have faith like a child, but I'm going to move past that because that's a whole other sermon. Okay? Church, we are on mission. On mission to show love. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God. But the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm going to be very honest. I love me a lot. I like to think I'm a pretty cool guy. I've been told through many years in youth ministry that I'm not that cool. But I like to think that I'm a pretty cool guy. Yeah, I know. My family also reminds me I'm not cool. Thank you. All right, I saw that look, Kevin. Listen, here's the truth. I love myself pretty well. I think pretty highly of myself. And I think most people have a very similar aspect, a very similar mindset. If we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves, or how we would want to be loved, and if love is those 15 characteristics that I've already read off several times and could go again, if you really would like me to start the sermon over, if love is radical as it says that it is, and if love is sacrificial and we're supposed to show love to our neighbors, church, we're doing something wrong. We're doing something very, very deeply wrong. because our neighbors don't know. And I got to be honest, church, that should upset every one of us. So what does love have to do with it? Everything. Love has everything to do with it. A great leader once told me, they don't care how much you know if they don't know how much you care. That's the very beginning of 1 Corinthians 13. If you have all knowledge in the world, if you know everything and don't have love, then it's worthless. Church, my challenge, my application for you today, as we look at love in what it is, as we look at love not as the world views it, not as a quick solution, not as an easy thing, but as we look at love for what it truly is, that love is our mission, we're called to show love to everyone, to share love with everyone. Why? Because he first loved me. He loved you. So we need to be out there showing love because that's what our mission is. And not just the hand-holding, kissing type of love. All right? No, we need to be showing a sacrificial love where we care about people so much that we're willing to give up a Saturday to go help somebody move. Right? I know that sounds silly, but it's more than that. We're willing to give up something that would make our lives easier or better to be able to help and support other people. That we're willing to go out of our way to show people how much we love them, that they start asking questions like, why are you like this? We shouldn't be like everyone else. Our love should look so different, should look so strange that people go, what is wrong with you? So that we can say, that's easy, I got Jesus. How about you? My call to you, church, my challenge for you today is this. Are you loving? Are you loving radically? Let's pray. Gracious Father, God, I thank you for this day that we can come before your throne, that we can seek your word, that we can see you for who you say you are. God, I thank you for your love that you love us so much that you took the cross for us. God, I thank you for your love challenging us to be so much more than we already are. God, I pray that this week as we go out, that we find the opportunity to show the radical love, the sacrificial love, that we're able to perform your mission that you've called us to do. God, it's in your great name we pray today. Amen. Amen.
Will you please stand?
Thank you.
fall down. Go this week, show love. Show radical love. And if you haven't already, go downstairs. Derek's going to be down there handing out strawberries for anybody who's already paid. Thank you, church. You're dismissed.
Oh, how he loves you.